88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
All right, I was very lucky to be joined by two members of the first family of awesome. And that's what I've given as their name, what they could be known as, the Agar family. Becky, the mother, Johnny, the son. Join me on the Eric Zane Show podcast. Let's get after it. Let's bring in our guests, the multi-talented Agar family.
Good morning.
Hi, Becky. How are you?
Good, Eric. How are you? It's Johnny, too.
Good morning. How are you? Good to see you. Good to talk to you, I guess.
Yeah, Johnny, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Becky. Sorry about the tech issues, but I still wanted to hear your voices at least. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Boy, you know, where to begin? Because there always seems like something spectacular to unpack. And first of all, I didn't say anything about this, but tomorrow people will be able to see your beautiful shining faces. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Well, part of it's correct. I don't know if they're beautiful or shining. But
yeah, especially in the morning. But we're going to be on the Today Show. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, sir. I am, Johnny.
Okay, yeah, we're going to be on the Today Show. It's going to air at 10 a.m. on Christmas Eve, so it's going to be wonderful. But I'm having a project done in my downstairs, and Mom and I are downstairs. A bunch of the community have come together and kind of helped me to gain my independence. We had some rough issues before, but everyone's come together to make right, and it's been a wonderful thing. And the Today Show somehow saw it, and they wanted to do a story on it. So
how great the community is,
especially during this Christmas season.
So. Yeah, and that's kind of like. I mean, it's great to have that type of story, especially at this time of year, in the face of something. And we had been following that story from the very beginning. We've been talking about this, so the audience is definitely in tune with what has gone on, and that it's exactly what people want to see. And they you know what? Frankly, people love hearing from you guys because you've really done a heck of a job. From beginning to end, both with your mother and father, Johnny, raising such a wonderful family, and nothing ever slowing anybody in that family down in any way, shape, or form. That's kind of been your mantra from the get-go. Isn't that right, guys?
It really has. You know, my parents have always taught me never to put any limitations on myself to keep going. And, you know, that's everything that my parents have done for me, and you know, everything from, you know, putting me on ice skates when I could barely walk, or writing my own name, to now writing a book. It's just really, really cool to see the opportunities that they want me to pursue, and they allow me to pursue those.
The book is called The Impossible Mile, which is a nod to what you've been doing with endurance sports for quite some time now. The power in living life one step at a time. People, when they have problems, Johnny, they tend to look several steps down the road. And I think that that statement right there is very centering to anyone when it comes to dealing with life's struggles. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I think, you know, when people think about things, I'll just use my story because it's personal to me and I can understand it and explain it better. But I think for me, when I walk, you know, I have to think about every single movement that I make. And for me, it's nearly impossible for me to accomplish a goal and think to myself, you know, 10 steps ahead, you know, not taking one step at a time can be detrimental to me. And I think, you know, with all the challenges that we face now in the world today, I think it's very important that people understand, you know, you may not get things right away like, you know, so many people want. But I think, you know, if you just take on life one step at a time and understand that, you know, you're going to have those failures along the way, but don't let those deter you. They're only stepping stones to help you understand how to accomplish those goals later. So, and I think that's really what Mom and I were shooting for when we wrote the book. So,
Becky, parenting Johnny in the scenario with having the limitations, so-called limitations, physically put on Johnny, you had to probably, Johnny's so successful, I'm guessing, because of the example that you set for him. And I'm guessing some of those parenting decisions were difficult when you had to let him figure it out on his own. Was that hard for you? And did anybody ever say, hey, you're pushing him too hard?
Yeah. Yes, on both of those. You know, it was very early on when we got the diagnosis that Johnny had cerebral palsy. Almost immediately, the day we walked out, we got some advice from the neonatologist, and he said, "You know, you can read," because we said we want to know all about cerebral palsy and what it is. We knew it wasn't good, but we had no idea what it was. And he said, "You can read all the books you want to." Or he said, you can walk out of here just loving him and taking it day by day. Because he said a lot of times what ends up happening is when you read those books, you anticipate things happening and you actually thwart your, you know, your kids from being able to do things. So early on, Jeff and I decided we just didn't want to put any limitations on him. And we didn't say he had cerebral palsy. In fact, we didn't even want him to know he had cerebral palsy because we didn't want anybody putting limitations on him, not just us. And we wanted him to be able to decide what he could or couldn't do when he was old enough to understand what he had. And it gave, you know, a lot of people, it was hard for a lot of people to understand that because, you know, it's very difficult. You want to pigeonhole somebody in order to get them the needs, the things that they need and to understand it better, I think.
Yeah.
So it was a really difficult thing for people to kind of grasp. And we did get quite a few people, you know, having a hard time saying we were in denial, and which was kind of funny because obviously we were in denial. We lived with him every day and saw what his limitations were. But I think having that attitude in ourselves and just expecting him to do things, I think that helped with him as well, because, you know, he didn't place any limits on himself, like he was just saying. So I think it helped him physically, and I think it helped him, you know, obviously mentally as well, to be able to prepare himself. He knew he was going to fail, and it was okay because, you know, this was just his life and this is the way he dealt with it. And he's taught us a lot, you know, as well. It's very hard for us to complain too much when we see him struggle with pretty much everything every day. We don't have a really big reason to complain. So,
yeah, it sounds like when you guys, like hearing you talk about the processes, Becky, and hearing Johnny discuss his approach, it sounds like a coach giving like a pep talk, almost like some type of athletic thing. You would hear like Dan Campbell of the Lions talking to the team, saying those things. That's kind of like what I'm hearing. And I know athletics has been huge in your life for the whole family. Does that make sense, I guess?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, look at sports as just games. But I look at it as as so much more than just games. I look at it as, you know, the life lessons, the failure, the, you know, the getting them back up and trying again.
Yeah, what was it
that was
the other day about baseball?
I look at baseball, for example, and I see that, you know, if you get hit three out of 10 times, that's a 300 batting average, and you can go to Hall of Fame for that. So, you know, you may strike out three times, or you may strike out 10 times, but if you get a hit three times out of those,
yeah,
that's a Hall of Fame career.
Right.
So, I you know, just certain examples of that with sports is a very serious topic, but it's a fun way for me to learn those type of lessons.
And
so,
maybe, you know, maybe he does look at us as coaches, because he does. Everything he has learned has been from sports, really. We like to take credit sometimes for it, but, you know, when he learns the back of the jerseys, he learns numbers from the back of the jerseys, and he's going to learn how to read because he was reading stats and the names on the back of the jerseys. I mean,
right.
Sports has been, we're a sports family.
Yeah.
But he's a thinker, and he looks at sports as just, you know, he has based his life on how athletes play and how they act out on the field or on the, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say too, you know, I studied sports management at Aquinas, you know,
mm-hmm.
but why, you're thinking, you know, why would a person want to study sports management at a college, but in reality, when he has cerebral palsy and can't even, you know, go in circles when he does his wheelchair. But, you know, I wanted to be around those athletes. I wanted to learn from them, know how they, you know, how they carried themselves, you know, whether it be in college or the pros. You know, I wanted that to be a career because I feed off of their energy and stuff. So
I would guess that as, let's just say we go ahead in the future 10 years and you're a representative or an agent for an athlete, a lot of those young people, they need that type of rock force like yourself to offer them wisdom. They look to them as almost a father figure, and that could absolutely be you because of the wisdom you've gained from just what you described. And I think that your life experiences as well as your intellect would make you superior in that role. I think that would be, that's a spectacular career choice, frankly.
Oh, thank you very much. I would love to, you know, I love talking to young people and young kids and motivating them and helping them to understand what they can accomplish. And I would love to have that as a job. So,
hey everybody, Joel Pellizzi to talk about one of my amazing partners, Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile's done it right, you know. If you're like a sucker who's trapped paying tons of money to big wireless, it's time to end that cycle. You see, with big wireless, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. I've seen this happen so many times, especially with Pooh Bear, when she breaks her phone and gets a new one. Oh, yeah, it's only going to cost me this much. And get home, and it's a complete disaster. I need, a personal loan to pay the bill. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Okay. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans. I do this, and you should too. My bill went from astronomical to $15 a month for my phone. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. The game is up for Big Wireless. We are on to you. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Zane. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower over 40 gig on unlimited plan, but you'll be fine. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Can you, you know, I've been talking to you guys for a long time, and I've only gotten one vibe, and that is like the vibe we have now. Can you take me through the scenario of, hey, someone's having a bad day in the Agar household, because no one sees that or ever hears about that. I mean, but that's relatable. You have bad days too, just like everybody else, right?
Oh, I definitely have bad days when I, you know, when I even try to get out of bed.
You
know? Yeah. there are multiple days when my wife has to pick me up off the floor, and I say some words that I don't want to say right now. But
yeah, of course, man. You know what you should do, Johnny? What you got to do is you got to do one YouTube video of maybe, I don't know, maybe your sister helped you out. And it's just called Johnny Having a Bad Day, and you saying every word in the book, because no one ever hears that. I would love that. That's incredible. So and the book came out in September. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is awesome. And, you know, I was taking a look at it, and this all works out in this weird type of culmination of events, because as you indicated, This gentleman, I use that term loosely because he hasn't fixed it. Well, I guess I should ask this. Has the gentleman who you had the issue with, has he reconciled this yet?
Yeah.
He did.
He's sort of did, yes.
Okay.
We'll call it that.
So, you know, I mean, it was weird. You guys were left holding the bag. Thank God. Some great members in the community stepped up and finishing your living space. That is very, very cool of them. Can we say who or no?
This is very cool. He wants to remain anonymous.
Okay.
He's not looking for any publicity.
Okay.
He's just doing this out of the kindness of his heart.
That is so sweet and so kind. So now this guy who kind of put you in a bad spot, he was featured prominently on the news. I can only imagine him trying to get work after this. I mean, that would be just so awful if he shows up at someone's house to give an estimate. They're like, oh, you're the jerk on the news.
Yeah, you know, that was the hardest thing for Johnny and I. We never, ever wanted to make life tough for anybody.
Right.
We know that scenario all too well. And so we tried for a year almost to get him to just, you know, give us back the money and we'd just call it good. And he didn't. And then I started doing some research, and just a little bit of research, I found that he did that to a lot of other people. Just in my own research. So all I kept thinking about was my grandmother. You know, if he had taken the money from her, she'd have been wiped out. And so I just didn't want it to happen. And I found out 5 months before, had we done something 5 months before, he had taken money from somebody else, a substantial amount of money. And so we just didn't want it to happen to anybody else. And that was our main goal. We just wanted to let people know, please don't sign up with this person, because it's not good until he gets his life kind of straightened out. So.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, is it Susan Samples, the Wood TV 8 reporter?
Yeah.
I love
her.
She's fantastic. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah. She's
awesome. Yeah. She's been our friend for a while. So.
Getting back to the whole sports thing, Johnny, you know, I indicated it before, but my new favorite is Dan Campbell. What do you think about Dan Campbell, the coach of the Lions?
Oh, I absolutely love him. You know, he's one of those hard-nosed Detroit guys, and he's been with the Lions before, so he knows you know, what the culture is like, and he knows, you know, what players like too. And you can hear it in his voice, the passion that he has, and the want to win, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll have those guys. He'll have those guys rolling soon.
I believe that.
He's gonna get some nice draft picks here coming up, so it'll be awesome.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for that. I love that. Now, you know, we talked about some of the other things your family has done. You also, your wonderful sisters, Grace and Annie, correct?
Yes, sir.
And they're all finding their way themselves in their own career. Grace is the baby of the bunch. Annie is making waves in, I think she's on Fox Bally Sports in Chicago. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so everybody's doing awesome.
She's the national correspondent for Bally Sports in football.
She's very funny. She's hilarious. Some of the videos I've seen her make are just, a riot.
I tell you what, she brightens my day so much, and I'm so happy that she's been able to brighten so many other people's day, because I've seen, I've gotten a front row seat for the past 20, well, she's 2 years older than, or 2 years younger than me, so for the past 25 years. And I'm so glad that other people are seeing what I've been able to see.
Yes, what a great bunch! Now, John, this would never have happened. This phone call that we're having right now, had I not been walking through Rockford, Michigan, and the race, I had finished this 5K, and I was going to my car, and then I heard this roar, and I looked across the street, and there you were. I actually saw you getting out of the what your dad was pushing you in, and you got up and finished the race. And I think, and that was the thing that was featured on ESPN. The ESPN cameras were there.
And yeah.
I just started walking next to you. I was like, wow, this looks fantastic. All I had to do was see you get out, and I was like, something amazing is about to happen. I got to see this through. And you've had that drawing power. You just by your actions have lifted people to new heights, and I can't tell you how special that is. You, because of your actions, it's so powerful. You, my God, everybody loves you, and is just so proud of what you have done, Johnny.
Well, you know, I have such a hard time telling people thank you, because you can tell people thank you multiple times, you know, and people really don't know if you mean it or not, but I really try to demonstrate by my actions, you know, how appreciative I am of this community and my parents. And you've just been another example of why I try to work hard every day, because I see you bending your back to share our story. And I see you working hard on the radio, every single day. And it's just inspiring to me, and I want to be like that. So thank you, Zane, for your encouragement and inspiration.
Well, it's our pleasure. My audience loves you very much, and the whole family. I'm glad that the living space is being set up so you can have your own little bachelor pad down there. What are the parties going to be like? How many beer bongs do you have made ready to go?
I'm so excited for the national championship game.
Oh, are you? It's gonna be, yeah, you're gonna have a blowout, aren't you?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be so awesome, especially if Michigan comes in. Then I can have a bunch of my friends over and be a Michigan fan for once. I'm a Michigan State fan, but I'll sacrifice for the idea of having my friends over.
Right. Can you imagine your mother's going to wander down there the next morning. There's going to be beer bottles everywhere, and she's going to be like, oh, whose underwear is this?
I don't know if I'll get that far, but I think it'll be a good time.
All right.
Good time for sure, and I'm excited that I can, you know, have my own independence.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Have to worry about me, you know, doing stuff.
No, yeah, it's all coming together. It's all coming together. The book is called The Impossible Mile, The Power in Living Life One Step at a time by Becky Agar and Johnny Agar. Merry Christmas to the Agars. Everyone loves you very much. And my gosh.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the Zane family. We love you guys.
Love you too. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the time, guys. I can't wait to do it again and give my best to everyone. All right.
Okay. Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you. See ya. I'll give a little.